Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Takes from Obvious Bozos, episode 13. I'm Drew, and joining me, the creator of the Strickland's Emoji Madness, the creative art director. Right? No, you did this.
I assisted, but it wasn't my idea.
So okay, so I'm going to give you credit. I don't care whose idea it actually was. So,
I think it was Dallas.
We are definitely not giving Dallas credit.
I could be wrong too. So don't even try it. Just go. Yeah.
The man who is trying to make the Reggie Bullock emoji a thing is not getting credit.
Yeah.
The creative director of the Strickland. You've seen some of his posts on SNY. The beautiful artwork for Clyde's 79th birthday. It is Zachary Blattery. Zach, what's going on? How's life treating you?
I'm doing great. You know, work is so busy and so fast paced, and every day it's like, here's this thing, and then the next day you completely forget about it, and then the days just zip by and zip by.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become weeks, and then they become months, and I don't know, I don't have a chance to even duck up for air. So
well, that's right, you told me before we started recording that you had a wonderful bagel.
I did,
which made me very jealous. For those who don't know, that Boston doesn't have bagels. Well, they do, but I mean, come on, they're not good. So but no, but Zach's doing well. I'm doing well. My cat's next to me, who you can't see, is also doing well. And let's get into our sponsors before we dive into everything. Our first one, of course, is Bet Online. The tournament is here. And if you don't know the tournament, it involves college basketball tournament. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there, and the odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAVE for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is BLEAV. Bet Online. The game starts here. And don't forget, we even have more betting and gambling sponsors, because we just love the gamble over here at the Strickland. And don't forget about Cut. The Cut is our great new sponsor. I love betting with my friends. Everyone knows me. Doug, the OG Bozo, loves to gamble all the time. I do nothing but gambling. Love betting with my friends and betting on them on anything. Sports games, it could be Knicks Spurs that I was going to watch this morning but was spoiled for me. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, that type of stuff. But like, who's the fastest? Zach and I actually, we raced each other the other week. And I completely blew him out the doors. That's what Cut allows me to do. I bet on Zach to see who runs faster. I bet on Knicks Spurs, all that sort of stuff. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40 plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards for all payments. No need for Venmo. So we at the Strickland have been putting tons of money on our emoji madness bracket. I've been betting on it the time. I've been betting against the James Dolan fat face every single time, and I have lost so much money to Schwinn on these bets. But use our promo code Believe Knicks for 10% welcome bonus deposit. Don't forget that promo code, which is BLEAV Knicks, which is KNICKS. put your money where your mouth is. And also, do not forget, guys, at the Strickland, we have a YouTube channel. We have an Instagram. We have, no, we're still not on TikTok,
right? Yes, we are. We are on TikTok.
Do I do this every single time?
Yes, I'm running the TikTok, but I am not posting that much on there, so don't yell at me yet. Soon, I'm going to up the volume. Soon, I'm going to up the volume. You know, soon
we are on, we are on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. That is at thestrict.land. Don't forget, we have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/thestrictland, or you go to our website, thestrict.land, and follow all the links to get to our Patreon. We have tons of great benefits for our Patreon. The $6 tier allows you to hear this full episode, Friday episodes of Pod Strickland, and that's with Prez and Schwinn. I forgot Prez got paywalled, which is very funny.
He got paywalled like over a year ago, or like a year and a half ago.
It's still amusing to me that Prez is paywalled. It just makes me laugh. It's just great. So you can hear all that. You can also get exclusive articles from Matthew Miranda and all these sort of things. The $9 one gets you, does $9 get you Strick and Roll?
It does.
It gets you Strick and Roll, which is Schwinn's solo pod where he has on people that apparently were not good enough to be on yet for whatever reason. But you can also get Strictly NFL as well. That is our NFL podcast with Jeff and Con. Definitely check that out. I know it's the off season for the NFL, but it's
NFL draft season, actually. It's not
the season.
It's NFL draft film crunching season.
And I there you
Khan
go.
Khan is grinding the NFL draft tape. He's in the Strickland Football Channel every day with the draft analysis. So, yeah, that never stops.
So if you want to get into our Discord, again, go to Patreon, sign up for one of the tiers. You can get into our Discord where we have our, like I said, we have the Emoji Madness, which has been a hit. You get all the podcasts. You get to ask us questions that come on, takes from obvious bozos. We get to just interact, bullshit, have a great time. And yeah, definitely, like I said, come on in. When you're here. Oh, wait, because, you know, Olive Garden doesn't have this slogan anymore, I don't think. Because when you're here, you're family.
Wow.
So.
Heartwarming.
Exactly. It is. No, I think they got rid of it, right? And I know you're not up on this, the random stuff, but I think Olive Garden got rid of if you're here, your family. So I think it's up for grabs for licensing.
We should just tell Alex to submit the patent or something. Like,
I need the double. I need to see if anyone has taken it or not. But like, if we can get it for like cheap, we need to have the Strickland when you're here.
Your family. put it in the Twitter bio.
So. All right. Are you ready for our takes?
I am beyond ready.
All right. We're starting off with Villain X. This season is the Knicks' best chance to win a championship.
All right. I'm going to explain something. I put this here first. I put this here first because Victor Wembanyama owned us last night. And apparently. I will say, I don't know, you didn't watch the game, but I watched Wembanyama and look, I watched Wembanyama at the beginning of the year, like the national TV games when it was all like, oh, look at this shiny new toy, you know. But since then, like when he played the Knicks earlier in the year too. But like since then, I have kind of not.
He's gotten so much better since that.
I haven't kept up on the Wemby stuff.
And I've watched them recently. Early season Wembanyama versus current, it's night and day. He's finally adjusting. He's good.
Yeah. And last night I saw how much of a dude he is now. And I was like, yo, this guy is going to be a fucking problem for a long time if he stays healthy. And I do think like the league is as wide open as it could be right now. And like, I still think Jokic is like my favorite, my pick to win out of this. But I don't think that they're like a dynasty level team yet. They're not like the 17 Warriors. They're not like one of those crazy juggernaut teams. I think they are vulnerable. And I know Boston's vulnerable. And I like this take because I do think this is a, I don't know if it's their best chance, but the Knicks certainly have one of their greatest chances this year. This is one of their greatest opportunities to win a championship this year before Wemby gets good and before another dynasty forms.
It's not just Wemby gets good because the Spurs still suck, right?
That's more what I meant.
Right, like the Spurs still suck. So it would be interesting to see if they can actually build a team around him, and I think that's going to take more. I think that's going to take a little more years than expected. So I do think there is a smaller window for the Knicks to do it. And I think this year is a great chance for it to happen, especially if like Randall gets healthy and back into the playoffs. So I would say like in these next couple years, I would say it's the best chance. We'll have to see how like these off seasons shake out and see how injuries and things go. But like Mitch is finally coming back. Like I said, I missed the Spurs game. So, you know, when you finally listen to this, I will have watched it by then, but like I haven't seen it. So like in Mitch's like 12 minutes when he came back, he looked fine, right? Like I would say like he's still like obviously still a little rusty, but like the good Mitch is still there. It's not like the first time Mitch came off a season, like a terrible injury, and he was out of shape and he couldn't run and he couldn't do all that sort of stuff. It's not the same Mitch. So like the Knicks should hopefully have like their elite 48 minutes of center playback, which is to me, I think the biggest advantage that they have, especially in the Eastern Conference teams. No, I don't think any of the Eastern Conference teams can provide that type of elite type of center play, except for the Celtics if Porzingis is healthy playing 40 minutes, right? Like
even then though, I don't think their backup centers are like, and I don't think it all equates to like what we.
No,
have,
it's not. So. I don't think so either, especially because like you can also slot Precious at the five.
Yeah,
he'll still be very good,
very serviceable. Yeah,
yeah. So like this really is like the Knicks window. I think right now would be in the next couple years because Wemby is definitely going to get better. Jokic is going to stay the same, right? Like this is like peak Jokic. Like he's going to be this probably for the rest of his career. Let's be honest, right? Like I don't see like a significant drop off just given like his style of play. So like it will be interesting to see how the Nuggets can maintain it. No, the Knicks have the elite guard, like Jalen Brunson's elite. I think we've got plenty
more on him coming. So
yeah, so like,
I do want to. I have one last thing on the Mitch Wemby situation. You haven't watched the game yet, but I will say last night Wemby was the first center I've seen in a long time make offensive rebounding hard for Mitchell Robinson. Like there were a lot of times where those two were just a lot. I'm sure a lot of it goes to Mitch's, like Mitch is definitely not 100% right now. And like,
he hasn't played in 50 some odd games, which is,
he doesn't have the lift right now, like the springiness that he usually brings, but there were some offensive rebound battles, some like tip in battles between Wemby and Mitch where Wemby was just sunning him. And I'm like, yo, I've never seen Mitch get dominated on the offensive glass like that before. And I'm very, very thankful that he's not in the East. And we won't have to see him again for another like 6+ months.
Yeah, there's also like the inherent thing, like even as big and strong as Mitch is, and he's not 100%, so he can't necessarily get the positioning in. Yeah. Like when you're that tall and that long as like Wemby, like sometimes it just ultimately doesn't matter. You can just literally just rise above and tip, right? It's as simple as
that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing all night. It's
there's really not much you could do outside of like pushing the player back further, which is definitely, Mitch can definitely do that. But like, again, like what's Wemby, 7'5"? I know they don't list him as 7'5", but like
he's 7'5". Yeah.
I think I was watching one of the Spurs games on League Pass. They're like 7'3" Wemby or whatever. I'm like, this,
like, give me a break. Come on. Like, he's not 7'3".
He's not 7'3".
He made Hartenstein look short.
Yeah.
Look really short next to him. Yeah. And Hartenstein is massive.
Yeah, so, like Mitch and Hartenstein are huge, like huge, giant athletic guys. And Wemby is significantly taller. No way. But no, they said like 7'3" center. And I'm like, no, he's not 7'3". Okay, so we have a take from Basketball Robot and our beloved Jerry Garcia. OG Anunoby is going to ask for the max this offseason. And then our beloved Jared Garcia adds, and be worth it. So OG will probably ask for the max. He's not getting it. He's not getting the max. There's no way. He has too much. Like, this is definitely a hot. I don't know if it's a hot take from Dallas. It may just be a bad take, though, at the same time.
I will also provide the caveat that this was submitted during the two games that OG was healthy for, like in between the re-aggravation and the original injury. Like,
okay, thank you for the context.
This was submitted like after the Kings game where he was like playing, but obviously not 100%, but playing enough to where like he was making an impact.
Yeah, and he was great.
He won that game. He was awesome. And then like the reactivation thing happened in Portland, and you know, we don't know where we're at. But I do think he will ask for a max. My tinfoil hat theory is that they'll negotiate something where there's a lot of incentives for games played. There's a lot of incentives for like minutes played, and there's a lot of it might be a very, very high max contract bottom line number, but it probably won't be all guaranteed. And I don't think there's any other way to do this. I don't think you could give him a full max guaranteed contract with what he's done so far. And like, he's gotten to New York, and yeah, we know you're awesome when you play, but mm-hmm. you've missed more games than he's played, right? I think so. If he hasn't done that yet, he will very soon. He'll break that
very soon. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't just like give that guy a blank check. So
it's tough because he's definitely the elite role player type guy. Yeah. And I don't mean that as like an insult. Like Rudy Gobert is like the elite role player type center, if that makes sense. Right. And he got as much money as like humanly possible, right? Just because of just like the impact. Like it's not flashy or anything, but just like teams are better when like the Knicks are just significantly better with OG on the court. It just everything clicks in a way that just never clicked before, because he is just a perfect like outlet. Because like you can collapse on Jalen Brunson or Julius Randle, and they will without hesitation just kick it out to OG, and he can take all the shots that he wants, and he makes
those like corner threes very, very often when he doesn't have a
screw belt. He may not get, because I think there was some discussion that OG wanted like maybe like a larger usage or a larger role or anything like that. He may not get different types of usage, but he will get as many shots as possible. Like Jalen Brunson is totally fine, even though he's an elite scorer. He's there's a chance he'll have like casually drop 8 assists, 10 assists.
Yeah.
He's fine with passing the ball. They're fine, but like the Knicks are totally fine passing the ball. Dante will get up his shots. They don't care. Dante can shoot. They'll let him shoot. So it'll be interesting to see. He's definitely worth it. He has the impact of it. I don't see it.
It's hard to just convince me with the health, but he's absolutely worth it if he's like going to play every game or play 70 games or 65 games.
Yeah. If he's going to be healthy, if he's going to play every single game, we're talking about all NBA first team defensive player of the year type impact. He may not win it every single year, but he would be in that conversation and have all the numbers for it, and that's the type of guy you do max, and then he has the offensive efficiency to match it. Just like playing just very simple, the simplest basketball possible on offense, but like it just works. Like drive and kick, pump fake. If someone's closing out hard, he can drive to the rim and he can dunk it. Like it's very simple basketball. He plays it. It's great. So, all right, Stacey Patton has: if the Knicks had Deuce McBride instead of Elfrid Payton, they would have beat the Hawks in the 2021 playoffs. Which version of Deuce, though?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, this is a very fun and great take. If it's like this Deuce that we're seeing, like 2024 Deuce,
yes.
Yeah, obviously we probably beat them in four. Probably beat them in four or five. But if it's like 2 years ago Deuce, or like rookie Deuce,
no.
Yeah, like I don't think so. So that's where this take goes. But yeah, it's a very fun like thing to think about and be like,
hey, I like maybe, it though.
Yeah, maybe if Deuce was around, like they actually, him and Elfrid are kind of similar archetype players. Deuce is much a better shooter, but like the defensive Tibbsy, like built up point guard. I don't know. Deuce is much a better offensive player than him, but
I don't think they're the same archetype in that Elfrid Payton, when he was good, right? In air quotes, like good.
Yeah.
Like when he was when he was doing like triple doubles for the Orlando Magic.
He did it for us. Yeah, triple double for us.
Yeah, like there is he's not the same player, but you know how like Josh Hart gets his like 10-10-10 triple-doubles? That's what Elfrid Payton
I believe was. Elfrid had a 10-10-10 triple-double for us.
Right.
Like that's into that.
Right. Like
I think he did.
So he's like an even shorter version of Josh Hart. And like, but Josh Hart is just a significantly better version of Elfrid Payton, and the bigger version, the more like just the better version of it. Deuce, it's really funny because like we were all, when Deuce was doing this in the G League, we all know this, which is just very amusing to us because he was putting up like 30, 10, and 10 in the G League.
Yeah.
And we're like, will it ever translate? It's translating now. And it's also there is an annoyance for me too about this, as much as I love the Deuce thing. Clearly, Brunson and Quickly could work. Right?
We all knew. We all knew.
We all knew.
Yeah, like,
so like it's it's great to see that Deuce is becoming that. It's also really interesting to see that, like, Grimes was potentially just like a system guy, almost in a way, right? Because it's like, well, Grimes isn't doing this anymore. Like, Quickly and RJ are putting up their numbers in Toronto, right? So clearly there was a level of like, these guys are good. And everyone, and then Deuce was like, we're like, oh, so what's Deuce? And they were just like, no, just when we give Deuce an opportunity, he'll show up.
And they believe that. They believe that for, they probably had long believed that even before they made the OG trade. They probably were like, hey, this is something we need to invest in, something we need to experiment with, something we need to see.
So. I agree. And it's worked out. You know, it's also funny with Stacey submitting that. Stacey was very much in the Deuce draft being like, he's like the best point guard. I think there were a couple of people on the Strickland staff that was like, no,
Prez.
He's legit, and he fell, and thank God he fell, basically, right? Now he's locked up for a couple of years. He made 9 threes in a game.
That was crazy. He actually didn't shoot well in San Antonio, but like his shooting right now the past couple of weeks has just been like at another level where I never thought he could reach. And but
the funny part was he was doing it. He did it in college. He did it in the G League. Like, he's done this, and it's just really funny. Now there's like, he has all the confidence in the world. You see it too. Like, he has all the confidence in the world. His defense has slipped a little bit though. But
I think that comes with like, when you get the added offensive stuff, like, it's just, you don't have the energy to like go out.
And Tibbs is playing him full games. So like, I get it. But like, Deuce becoming like what we see right now is truly great. And the Knicks believed in him clearly. And they gave him a shot. They literally were just like, Grimes go. Quickly go, RJ go. It's okay. We have Deuce. He's lighting it up. It's been great.
This is like, I'll get this quick, but this is a take Schwinn had shared once. I don't know if it was like on a pod, but Deuce has had his minutes screwed over multiple times. But the two biggest ones were like last season, before we had traded for Josh Hart, but after we had made the rotation change, like from December 4th to February, I don't know, like whenever we did the Josh Hart trade, February 7th or something like that. Deuce was in the rotation, and like he was the ninth man, and he wasn't a star in the rotation, but he was a very, very important and productive player for us and a positive player for us.
Yes, he was. He always was.
And then when Josh Hart got here, it was right back to the doghouse. And you know, Josh Hart was awesome and worked out well for us. But if you're Deuce, that's like not something that's that most guys would take well. You know, like, I played well and your team just went out and traded for a guy to replace me. Like, what the hell is this? Then the next season, it kind of happened all again because we did this when we...
It happened all again, and then you know what? It panned out.
It panned out. He stuck through it, and...
He stuck through it, and he's capitalized. He's in the rotation. Like, he's in the rotation. Like, you can't...
I really think, like, this is like a indictment on the character of these players, but if Grimes had went through that, I don't think he would keep his head up the whole time and, like, just stick it out. Well, like, Deuce has just dogged this out the whole time.
Grimes didn't. That's the whole thing. He did He lost the job to Dante.
Dante took him and was like, yo, Dante just bodied him. Dante was like,
And Grimes is like, well, what the hell?
Yeah,
and
Grimes like, just kind of checked out. Yeah.
And he checked out. And it's like, buddy, like, Dante was playing better than you. Like, sorry.
And
like,
you had your chance, Grimes. Like, we gave you multiple chances with Dante in the building to, like, show us that you're worth of this spot. So.
Whoa, how'd you do that?
I don't know. I put up my thumbs up and, like, caught it as something. But I don't know. That was weird. I don't know. You saw that, right? If you're watching on video, I like just made a thumbs up. If you're not watching on video, I'm sorry. I made a thumbs up gesture and like some thumbs up icon just popped up on our screen. And I have no idea how I did that, but
that's amazing.
There you go.
But
that's what you get for watching on video.
Yes. Stacey Patton. Deuce would be the best player on the Nets.
Deuce would probably be the best player of the Brooklyn Nets. That's the take.
McHale
is like, some talent wise, sure, but like, can we get away with saying this? Yes.
Yes. Would he be their starting point guard? Yes.
Yeah.
Who's even starting point guard for them? I don't even know.
Schroeder starting, probably.
Oh yeah, Deuce would be Deuce would be in the starting lineup. Like that's.
Who's the other point guard? It's Schroeder and like who else? Oh, Dennis Smith, our guy DSJ.
Oh yeah, Dennis. We know he's better than Dennis Smith.
Yeah,
we already know that. Deuce would be the starting point guard for the Nets, and they would be a better team. They would just be a better team because he's a better player.
Yeah.
Jax365 has the Nets have the worst outlook than the Wizards right now, from the draft picks to tradable players. Don't the Nets have a bunch of draft picks though?
They do, but they're not theirs. Like, they don't own a Brooklyn Nets draft pick until 2028. Oh,
that's rough.
Yeah, they don't control their own destiny. And, like, that is the worst spot to be in my opinion. And, like, I think this is a great take from Jax. Like, not only do they not control their own destiny, like, they don't have their own picks, but they also don't have a young player who I'm, like, enticed to buy long-term. They have some nice young pieces. I like De'Ron Sharpe. Cam Thomas is a talented player. Mm-hmm. They got some, like, even, I don't want to call Mikal young and Cam Johnson young, but they are, like, on the younger side of things.
Well, no, they're like in their prime role players who definitely do better as like the fourth, fifth, sixth guys in your rotation on like a good team where they're not carrying.
Yeah. There are some nice pieces on this team. That's what I was trying to say, but they don't have something that you want to build around long-term, and it's going to be hard for them to get something that you want to build around long-term because they don't have those picks to play with.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I think it's really weird for a team to have as many productive role players as they have, whether that's Mikal, Cam Johnson, and you go down the line, like Dorian Finney-Smith and Claxton and these other players were pretty good on, like, who could be good on other teams, and you just don't trade them? Like, what were they doing at the deadline? They just sat on their chips the whole time, like trying to make a play-in run or something? It made no sense to me. It still makes no sense, and yet they're screwed. So
I don't think people realize, like, just because a bunch of guys who are good as the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh players in a rotation, just because you have a collection of them doesn't actually mean that your team's going to be good, because you still need someone to generate some sort of gravity on offense, right? You need someone to do that. None of those guys have that, right? Like, none of those. It's like, oh, Mikal's going to dribble the ball and create. Okay, fine. Let him.
Have fun.
Because he's much more deadly in, like, the spot-up role. Playing defense. He doesn't play defense anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, things like that. Like, that's what he's better than. Cam Johnson, who always lights up the Knicks, which is really hilarious, but, like, that's the role he should be in. But he's not. He's asked to do so much more. And, like, that, those aren't their roles for the team. And, like, it doesn't work when you have a bunch of good role players. And it's like, no, you need someone who can create. They have no one who can create. Well, Cam Thomas can create, but, like, he's the chucker right now, right? Like, he's the inefficient guy who takes all the tough shots. He does make them every now and then, but that's like six man role, right? Like, Cam Thomas he's probably going to be a good six man if he can clean up his shot selection, but like, that's it. Like, that's like their only guy. Like, Dennis Schroeder, I guess, can, bleak. But like, it's very bleak.
Yeah.
And they should have. I think I was early on saying that, like, they should have blown this up, like, right when it's like, and they didn't.
And they were getting, it wasn't just like, you hear a lot about this Rockets idea with, like, Mikal going back to the Rockets, or not going back to the Rockets, but the Rockets giving Brooklyn their picks back that they have for Mikal.
Yeah.
There was also, like, a Jalen Green idea thrown around. But you can even go back further. There was, like, the Grizzlies rumor that they were offering four first round picks, and then you go around the league, there was other offers for him, and, like, it's made no sense. It's made no sense from the beginning.
You have to take those deals. Like, I don't like Jalen Green. He's closer to Cam Thomas to me than, like, a higher, like, a, like, some people probably think he's a better prospect than that. But, like, you got to take a swing on someone like that, because if he does improve his shot selection, if he does become a little more efficient, it's a similar argument to, like, an RJ Barrett, right? Like, if the shot selection improves and the efficiency improves, you have someone who can generate offense. And, like, you got to take that risk on someone like Jalen Green if you're the Nets, because no one's going there.
Yeah.
Like, you had the NBA outcasts and weirdos in Durant and Kyrie going there. Like, you're not getting people to go there. Like, it's bad. They're in a very, very bleak situation. I'm with Jax. The Wizards may be worse, but, like, they're the Wizards. No one cares. But, like,
and they have their picks. They have their picks, and, like, they don't have, like, a nice young player to build around, but they do have some young players. Like, they have some intriguing, like, 20-year-old, like, I like Koulibaly, and Kispert's a nice young piece. He's not that young anymore, but he still is a new league player.
And these are guys who are, like I said, I'm going to keep reiterating this point. These are guys who are, like, near the bottom of the rotation, who are on good teams. They have value. They can contribute. They're not the main guys. They're just not. They can't do anything for you like that. So Villanex has, McBride was the homegrown chosen one all along, combining all the positives of RJ, Toppin, IQ, Grimes, and Trevor Keels. I like that Keels was added.
I also like how Jericho Sims was omitted from this.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, how dare you omit Jericho Sims, Villain X.
Also, I do want to say this was framed as a question, and then I rewrote it into a take because the original message was McBride the homegrown chosen one all along?
Okay, so first, okay, so, at the end. Yeah, first of all,
but we don't do any questions, yo. This is a,
a take. Villain X, we don't do questions. Submit a take. Stand by it and submit a take. This is definitely a hot take, and I do not agree with it at all.
I don't know what he's combining together. Like, I don't know what sort of like, Infinity Stone combination this is supposed to be. But...
See, if anything, Deuce proves that the backcourt should have been Brunson and Quickly. Like, if anything, like, that's what it proves. And unfortunately, Quickly was the cost of getting OG. And we all know that. We've accepted it. RJ tanked his value. We've come to accept it. But no, if anything, Deuce proves that, like, clearly Quickly was the guy to do it. Because it's like, oh, interesting. Both, you have a backcourt of two point guards who could pass the ball and create offense and make shots. Oh my God. It's almost as if we've been seeing this for 3 years now.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought? So yeah, no, I don't agree with that. But no, Deuce being good, honestly, like Deuce being this good, again, just showing just like how good the drafting really has been for the Knicks, especially under Leon Rose. Because like Jericho can play a couple minutes in the NBA where you're like, oh, like you're not like, oh shit, Jericho's in. We're going to lose minutes. Like, I mean, he's not that good, but like he's serviceable.
He's not that bad where you're like, oh right. Fuck, Jericho's in.
So like, and they got him as like what, the 59th pick in the draft?
58.
So like, this regime like knows how to evaluate players and they kind of know what they're doing. So if anything, that's very good. So, So Young Pavardi submitted a tweet and the tweet goes, if I may say, there is something else going on too. I think kids in their early 20s right now seem particularly disconnected from the artistic past. Like I had a music stronger sense of reference to the past at that age than these kids do.
Yeah. All right. I want to give you some more context. This was a reply to a tweet about some older man saying that he was in a room of kids and asked how many of them had seen the movie The Matrix and none of them had seen it. And this was the reply saying that 20-year-olds are disconnected from the artistic past and we're screwed.
That's interesting because the only connection I have other younger people, but we're going to use you as the reference. And this, you are very much disconnected from the artistic past.
I am.
And that is something very interesting to see what's going on. I don't think this is necessarily a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take at all. I can explain my theory for why this is the case, though. And okay, it's not like some Einstein theory.
This is basically where we're going to... I know you didn't go for it, cut it up this way, but like how the minutes have gone, we're going to cut off.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
But no, I want to hear what's your theory. So, because I have a theory.
My theory is that people my age, with the amount of information we have at our fingertips, whether it's like data, numbers, whatever, but also media and like things we can consume, art, movies, film, music, whatever, we have so much choice that I'm always, and people my age are always going to get what they want. You know, I'm always going to have the option to get exactly what I want with the artists I love, the directors I love, whatever, anything I really, really like, I can get. There isn't really I'm not going somewhere and just saying, hey, show me what, like, just show me something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not just blindly going into reading a magazine or something that just has a bunch of stuff in it, or going to a theater and just like, hey, put on whatever movie. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to watch what I want. And I think that is the difference between now and back then. And back then, like the artistic past, there was a lot more of a like consensus good art thing. Mm-hmm. And nowadays it's like, hey, whatever you want, you watch it. So I think that's the reason for this.
I'm in a similar, like, you know, like boat as you, whereas the amount of access and information just was not there. So I can even just use me as a reference where it's just like, there was a time where I did not have the internet, right? Like I did not have the internet. I did not have a cell phone. I did not have a home computer, right? Like I didn't have these things. So where you're getting your cultural stuff is through like television and the radio.
Yeah.
More or less. And that's very curated and specific. And you don't have that much choice. So you kind of like are doing this stuff that you eventually do get a computer and you do get a cell phone and you get used to it. But like, I already grew up in that where like, I can go to a movie with knowing nothing about it. I can go in, I can sit, I can watch it, I can evaluate it. And that's not a thing anymore, right? Like, that's
I can't do that. I would be able to do it.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Like, I go into albums blind, I go into movies blind, I'll go into books blind. Like, I can do that. But that's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Like, Wikipedia exists, right? Like, yeah. You can just, even as something as simple as like, oh, I can look up what The Matrix is about before I get into it. There wasn't that before. That didn't exist. It's like you would have to go to like a magazine to be like, what's the review of this movie? Not a thing. Even with like video games as well. Like I only got video game previews through a magazine. Right? Like I would go to like early days of GameStop where it's like, oh, a new game got, I would have to buy. I forget the magazine. It was called like Game Informer.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, like I don't think it exists anymore, but like that's how I got my information on games, like through a fucking magazine. Yeah. So like it's I'm with you. Like I think that's what it is. It's just like it's not the same. You have access and information. You have all these different social media platforms that can basically clip all the relevant things for you. Like you can look a movie at like Saltburn. Like I very much enjoyed Saltburn, for example, because I didn't know anything about it. But if you cut up and you'd be like, oh, here are the five main scenes in Saltburn you need to see. Well, guess what? You don't need to watch the movie anymore. Right? Like you don't need to. Because like it hits on like all the specific things. And that's what social media has done. And like it is what it is. It's unfortunate, but like we're in a different time now. And honestly, you just gotta my thing is like, you just roll with it and get used to it.
That's what I've done. So
right. You make fun of the kids. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. It's okay. We're just going to keep bullying you into being like, watch Lord of the Rings, watch The Matrix. And you're going to be like, absolutely not. I don't give a shit. And that's what the world's going to be like now. I think for someone like Schwinster and that, like, hey, we have to be boomers and that's okay.
Yep.
So that is where the free preview is ending. Again, go to patreon.com/Strickland. You can hear the full episode and all the other amazing takes. You can submit these takes, all that good stuff. See you on the other side.
Let's do a coffee refill.
Coffee refill.
Let's go. I'll be right back.